Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 309.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. All right, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 309. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School. Thank you so much for being here. There's a great episode today on diminished voicings. Now, Sterling Koza is going to be doing this particular episode, and it's awesome. And diminished chords, like I said in the intro, well, you guys wouldn't know this if you're listening to this because I said it in the YouTube intro. By the way, if you want to go watch these lessons, you can go to youtube.com/jazzpianoschool and watch all of these podcast lessons with tutorials. If you want to listen, that's cool too. But anyway, diminished chords are tough, right? We're playing through a tune and then we get to the diminished chord and we're like, man, what are we supposed to do? Like, what are we supposed to do with this diminished chord, right? And yeah, most of the time it just doesn't happen. Like how to voice a diminished chord, how to make it sound good. So this is a great episode brought to you by Sterling. And there's a great reference sheet or practice sheet. It's not really a practice sheet, but like example sheet that goes along with this particular podcast episode. We've done this in the past a lot too. And you can get them by going to jazzpianoschool.com. But if you want this particular one, you can go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast309 and get the practice reference sheet that goes to this lesson. And it gives examples. Sterling kind of laid out the voicing. It gives examples in different tunes and how you can use it. It's really nicely notated. It's really nice. It's a great practice sheet. Everyone should probably have this if you're interested in learning about this diminished voicing. So definitely go check that out. It's completely free. But yeah, this is going to be a great lesson. If you hadn't heard, my new programs are open for enrollment. I know I've been saying this a lot, but I've been meeting with a lot of the students recently. That's been very nice for me. I just want to say that. It's been a very, very nice thing. And connecting with musicians, connecting with students that are really passionate about the music, and I can see it in them and I can sense their desire to get better at this craft. And the programs are an investment, right? They cost money to join, but you're studying with me privately. And then with that, on top of that, you're getting all these extra events like tutorials, group lessons. It's all done on Zoom and the private study is done through me. That's on the side. Right, but you're getting all these pod lessons, Q&As, group lessons, master classes, like open mic nights. It's amazing. So if you haven't checked out my new accelerator program, again, it's open for enrollment right now. You can go to jazzpianoschool.com/small group and check that out. But the students have such a burning desire to study and get better. And, you know, man, I don't even know where to begin with this. Like, I feel so many emotions. I feel bad because I listen to students' stories, and I also feel very hopeful and motivated for them because I know I can help so much when I can get a hold of a student and like work with you privately. I can increase your result. You know, it's going to sound silly, but I can literally get you past any sticking point, any plateau that you've been in for the past 5, 10, 20 years. Like, students are coming to me and they've been in the same spot for 20 years. And that makes me feel so sorry and like sad inside because I see the desire and it makes me remember where I was too, like where the point that I was and like wanting to get better at this craft and like not sound like crap as I was playing tunes and like know how to play tunes and I didn't know. And all the material inside of Jazz Piano School, you know, is great, but it's all self-study, right? It's self-study. And you can only go so far with self-study. If you're very disciplined and you do exactly what I say, like exactly what I say inside, you can be a master. But like, we're all human. Let's be honest. Like how many, I've had many, many coaches and many things in life, sports, piano, life coaches, business coaches, like I said, golf, hockey. I've had coaches up the wazoo and teachers up the wazoo in all areas and aspects of life. I'm about to get married, so I'll probably have counselors now, be working on relationship things. I've always had that, but like to do everything that someone tells you exactly as they say is very, 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 very hard. Especially when you're on your own and you don't have a set of eyes on you or someone you don't have accountability. Like, so if you go into Jazz Piano School and you're working through the courses, yeah, it's definitely going to help you. You're going to learn a lot of information. It's very well laid out. It's very clear. It's very organized. It's very structured, but you still don't have my eyes and on you, listening to you and assessing in live time your current issue that needs to be addressed, not later, not after you learn this cool voicing, not after you learn this improv lick, not after you learn like this other thing on YouTube. It needs to be addressed right now because that one thing that's holding you back is holding you back from everything. You can't just keep going on YouTube and like learning more information if you have a roadblock and a barrier that's preventing you from moving forward. And I'm sorry to say that all students, no matter who you are, no matter how good you are, cannot read the label of the bottle when you're inside the bottle. Do you guys know that expression? Right? You can't see the label when you're in the bottle. Like when you're playing and you're the one trying to self-teach yourself, okay, you don't know what you need. And that's the biggest issue. That's why all of the greats, no matter who they are, always have coaches, always have someone from the outside watching them, instructing them, coaching them, mentoring them. And connecting with these students has made me felt very appreciative for the program that I've decided to do and run. And again, I've only been doing this once every year. So it opens and closes. So again, if you are interested in going on this amazing journey, the Accelerator program's a three-month program. I have lots of spots open. I won't say lots, but I have 10 spots open in that. My Mastermind program is also open. I have three more spots left in that. But just having my direct eyes on someone, providing a customized lesson plan for them with a video tutorial, like everything you see in Jazz Piano School, but for you, right? All recorded, all laid out, and then keeping a continuous flow of archived lessons. Like that is the road to success, my friend. Like that's the road to break through all of your barriers. And I know this is kind of probably sounds like a plug to you, which it is, and it's not at the same time, because I'm expressing the journey that most students take. And like, if you're listening to this, I have a couple things to say to you. What you're doing is really difficult. It can be done in a self-study way. Learning transcriptions and tunes, this is another thing that I keep hearing over and over from students, is that every teacher they go to and have studied with in the past, right? This is the second time I'm running the Accelerator program, and it was so successful in the beginning. And so I listened to a lot of students then. I'm listening to a lot of students now, meeting with students one-on-one, and they're sharing their stories with me, which is so informative for me. And it just reinforces the fact that like everything I've thought, all my philosophies are spot on and I just need to keep going, right? But they're sharing their stories with me, and every teacher they've studied with, like 99% of the teachers they've studied with, you learn scales and modes. Great, you don't know how to integrate it, okay? I did the same thing. You learn voicings. You don't know how to integrate them though. You just know the voicings. You just know the scales and modes. You can run the scales and modes up and down, but you don't know what to do with them. When you learn tunes, the way that teachers teach tunes in jazz is A, okay, they will sit down and play for you and tell you to copy them. That's exactly what I did. Or B, they'll have you sit down and then kind of show you what to do as far as kind of like where to place your hands. And they'll say, okay, here, play this. Right, now play this. Okay, now what you want to do here is this. Right? But you don't know the why. You're not learning any fundamental concepts, and you're not learning how to apply whatever is they teach you over other tunes. Oh, use this altered chord here because it's cool. You see what I'm playing here? F sharp, B flat, C, F. That's called an altered chord. So when you get to this D7, play this here. That process of learning and education teaches you nothing. It teaches you one thing. I shouldn't say it teaches you nothing. It teaches you one thing. It teaches you a D7 altered chord over any, like over the tune that you're learning, right? That's it. When you go to play another tune, you don't know how to play other tunes because you're not learning any tools. You're not learning any concepts. You're not building a jazz foundation that's freeing up your playing to allow you to express yourself through the amazing music of jazz, which is the most depressing part to me. Because students and myself, we get involved in jazz to be able to play jazz freely. Like, to be able to improvise, to be able to do things freely, like, and express ourselves. Like, one student said to me, like, my goal is to express myself through the music, like, with chords and notes and improv. And, like, he wants to be able to create sounds and music on his own without notation. And the thing that a lot of students I'm seeing is on their journeys, they don't get any of that. They don't get any instruction that actually provides freedom to them, right? That provides tools and systematic processes they can use over and over and over again on all tunes. Do you see that? So by learning transcriptions and by learning and like going through, if you're studying with a teacher, if you're going on YouTube, and you're watching teachers play tunes certain ways, or you're watching transcriptions of tunes played certain ways, and you're playing those things, the brutal, honest truth is that that type of education will barely get you anywhere in trying to play jazz, right? Trying to play jazz on your own. You'll always be boxed in to all of the arrangements that you learn or copy, and you'll forever only be able to play those tunes that way that you learned on that video, or you'll only be able to play that chord that one way that your teacher showed you because it's a cool altered chord, and you never took the time to learn what the tool is, why you use it, and how you use it in all tunes over all chords, because that's your true path to jazz piano freedom. I'll let that sink in for just a second. Right? So, I feel lots of emotions because I empathize with the students that are talking to me that are in the accelerator program because this was my journey. Like, it was so hard for me, and I went through the exact same thing, and I completely understand and relate to everything the students are telling me. But at the same time, I'm so excited. I'm so happy. I'm so like filled with anticipation because I get to deliver education to these people that's going to cut through all the BS, right? It's going to cut through all of the noise out there on the internet, all the videos on YouTube, all of the ads, all of the books, all the DVDs, all of the courses, all of the library, all of the secret magic videos out there, you know, that you see, secret voicings, magic licks, just use this method, the one way you should only play ballads, right? You know, I do it too. Like, you got to get the clicks, right, and the views, but the lessons and customized lesson plans I get to deliver in the program because I'm working with these students cuts through all that and gives people the pieces, the students, the pieces that they need in the moment to make drastic, unheard of, unimaginable progress faster than they've ever made progress before, as long as they do the work that I'm giving them. And even after a week, even after 2 weeks, students are telling me, the accelerator program and the mastermind program,
right? Both. They're similar programs. Just one's just 3 months. The other one's 9 months. That they're like, I should have been, I'm so lucky to be in this program. Like, I should have been doing this years ago. Like, why? Like, you know? And it's just like, I know. Well, you're here now. You know, you can't think about the past. So.
Anyway, you listen to the podcast to hear me rant, to hear me speak my mind, to hear my philosophies, right?
You don't listen to the podcast for education. Just kidding. That's coming up in just a second. But if you want the short version of this stuff, again, go to YouTube. I don't do any of this stuff. I don't speak my mind like that. Again, it's just to teach people quickly because that's what people want on YouTube, right? That's what I want on YouTube. I can't blame people, right? I go to YouTube too when I want to fix something or I don't know how to do something around the condo here, right? Like if I need to, I know how to patch stuff really well, but I didn't know how to patch stuff really well. Well, I did, but like, what did I have to do? Like rip off the baseboards, right? I didn't know how to do that very well. I went to YouTube and then some guy's standing there. So what I'm going to teach you today, you know, is usually about, I'm like, okay, please just tell me how to, right? We're all impatient and it's very difficult to find what you're looking for and not be impatient. I get it, but that's what YouTube is for. And unfortunately, when we go to YouTube, you know, we go down rabbit holes, we get super distracted and we're learning little teeny bits of information completely out of order. Right? Completely with no path, no sequential learning path, no foundational building system that lays down a foundation with pillars and a stable ground to put more advanced layers on of education. That never happens. Another one of the big issues that happens with students and why you, for example, listening to this, haven't really been able to make much progress or learn. And the more, yeah, it's kind of like an ever-evolving system or rabbit hole or loop that students get caught in. Well, if I just watch one more video, if I just watch one more thing, and like, yeah, you're going to learn a lot of random stuff for sure, but it never goes together. It'll be one thing over here, then one thing over there, then one thing over here, one thing. There's no connection. That's why, you know, you can't really play anything that well or nothing really connects to each other. All right. I'm getting hungry. I'm also thirsty. I've been talking for a while, so I'm going to go get that. Sterling has an amazing episode for you coming today. If you're interested in studying and being a part of the Accelerator program, which is really, really, it'll change your life. I'm going to go that far. Yes, Brendan, I am saying that. It'll change your life. I promise you. It'll change your, not just your life, your musical life, and your life in general, because it's an amazing, inspiring, and motivating journey where you're surrounded by fellow students that have the same goal and desire as you and have the same frustrations. They've shared the same downfalls. They've come up against the same obstacles, you know, and everyone's in the same place. And being united like that and moving through hard and difficult times all together and experiencing progress as a group, that's a feeling you just can't get by yourself. You know, it's one of the amazing things about the program is being community with other students as we're all working to get better and achieving our goal. But again, go to jazzpianoschool.com/small group to get more information on my accelerator program. Go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast309 to get the amazing reference sheet that Sterling made. Really, really great. With that being said, let's dive into his episode. Here we go.
Hey everybody, this is Sterling here with a cool chord trick for you today. We're looking at a diminished shape. This is one that you can pull out, you know, if you're looking for a little bit of wow factor, if you want to just have something a little crunchier to mix things up. I've taken this from some of my favorite pianists that use this technique, pianists like Gerald Clayton, Oscar Peterson, Bill Evans. And you can use it in a variety of settings, which I'm going to show you today. So it takes place over a diminished chord, and the chord looks like this. Now if you look at the screen, it's saying something like E minor major flat 5, and I guess technically that's not wrong. I think of it more like a diminished major 7. So first, how you get the chord, the easiest way to think about it is a triad in second inversion, right? So root position, first inversion, second inversion. And all we're going to do is throw a root down a half step up. So if this is an E-flat triad, our root's going to be E. And you get this real dissonant interval. The minor major 7 here. The major 7th from E to E-flat or D-sharp. That's our money note, right? That's that interval that's going to give us that wow factor. So you can make this chord in a variety of keys, right? I like to do it going in minor thirds, so we'd go from E flat to G flat to A to C, right? So our triads are E flat, G flat, A, and C, and we're going to throw that root down a half step up, so E, G, B flat, and D flat on the bottom of each of these chords. Now the cool thing that I want to share with you about this pattern is that when we play in the mode of diminished, like E diminished 7th, we can create patterns based on these minor third intervals within the diminished chord. So you can also think of these chords as going up in minor thirds. That the bottom note spells a diminished chord, and the top note spells a diminished chord when we go up in minor thirds like that. So it's a beautiful pattern that gets created. Now, the next thing I'd recommend is to just practice this in 12 keys, and guess what? If you practice that pattern, 4 chords per diminished 7, you'll only have to do it 1, 2, 3 times. And then it inverts on itself, so it goes up to the next inversion of the diminished 7th chord. So we did it in E diminished, then we could do F diminished, and then F sharp diminished. And guess what? You know all the chords in all 12 keys. So that pattern is really fun to practice. Now once you get familiar with those chords, I want to show you some context in which you can use them. We're going to use it over a tune like It Could Happen to You. So, for those of you that aren't familiar with this song, the first 4 measures go like this. Those are the first 4 measures and so on. So the first 4 measures are where these chords come in really handy. I like to use them here. So for the chord changes, we have E flat major 7. A lot of people play G minor 7, C7 flat 9 for the second measure, and then F minor 7 followed by A minor 7 and D minor 7 flat 9. But guess what? You can use some diminished chords here. This is where it gets interesting. Some people, instead of playing C7 flat 9, they change the root and play E diminished. Well, guess what? We know a chord that fits there. Right? Same thing when we get to the D7 chord. We've got an F sharp diminished or G flat diminished chord on top. And we know some voicings that fit that. Right? So for the first 4 measures of It Could Happen to You, you can substitute those diminished chords. Really nicely, huh? Over those diminished. So this is a great example of how you can use diminished chords over dominant functions. As sort of a shortcut to the rule, if you have a diminished chord, you can throw a root down a major third away, and then you have a dominant chord. So that's kind of a double function for these chords. There's another way you can use them if you have the E diminished, diminished major. You can put the root down a third below and it becomes a polychord. It's sort of like E flat over C. So you can use this voicing over any measure that has C7 in it. becomes a nice dissonance that you can use. Same thing if we had a D7 chord, we could use F sharp diminished. Real crunchy. So I would challenge you to try using these voicings over your favorite tunes. Anytime you have a diminished chord in a tune like It Could Happen to You, or if you have like a dominant function and you want to add some extra tension, try using the diminished, a major third up, with this chord structure. So I hope that you enjoyed this video and that you start using these crunchy money chords wherever you can. All right, happy practicing.